Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Unlock me! Unlock me!
I'm not going to swear, okay?
You know what I'm saying?
No.
It's Mark Grody on 670 The Score.
Oh, hi, Mark.
We got room. We have room for a local show here. I am Mark Grody. I get to be with you until 1:30 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. 1:30 is the time the NFL playoffs will continue. Those two games yesterday were an absolute blast. We'll get to some of that here in just a bit. Tyler Buterbaugh is here with us today. He's a real beaut. You are here with us. I got the text line up, or I will. The phone lines are up, 312-644-6767. I'm on Twitch. Yes, Twitch on a Sunday. This is a grand occasion. So come join, 312-644-6767. Yeah, the NFL playoffs do continue today. Another doubleheader of divisional round action, if you can handle it. Rams at the Eagles, coverage coming up again at 1:30, the time that I will be here with you until, right here on The Score. The Ravens at the Bills can be heard on WBBM 780 AM at 5:30. We got it all covered here at Odyssey. All the games can be heard on the Odyssey app. The Score is your home for Super Bowl 59, and I've got something special in regards to the Super Bowl that I want to talk about in just a little while. This is a great time for a show because what a weekend it has been in Chicago sports. Sammy Sosa was hilarious. He was vintage. He was dismissive. I don't know. I've got some Sammy stuff that I want to talk about a little bit later on the show. Tom Ricketts, headline, maybe the headline of the entire Cubs convention. Tom Ricketts was defensive about payroll and money, and I would say simultaneously offensive in terms of what he is telling us to pay attention to. And don't bog yourself down trying to be one of those crazy billion-dollar Dodgers payrolls. So Ricketts was very interesting. We've got new Bears interviews to talk about. Detroit has been eliminated. Ben Johnson, Eddie George, and that's right, Adam Stenovich will all be mentioned on this show today in regards to the Bears. Those final scores yesterday, Washington 45, Detroit 31, just in case you missed it. Kansas City eliminated Houston yesterday 23-14. There was a lot of eye-popping Bears stuff in the last 24 hours. The Eddie George interview, which is said to be happening today in person. Yeah, Eddie George, the former great running back with the Tennessee Oilers, with the Ohio State Buckeyes. He is now the Tennessee State University head coach. He doesn't seem qualified to be a head coach at this point in his life, 24-22 overall since 2021 at Tennessee State University. So I'm crossing him off the list here right now, and we'll talk about Stanovich and Brian Flores. But wasn't the most jarring thing yesterday, in the midst of it all, the thing that caught my attention the most, and I watched every minute of those two games yesterday, I've been paying attention to and been reporting on and discussing with people the moves that the Bears are making and the interviews that they are having and the interviews that they have had. But the biggest deal yesterday, the biggest moment yesterday, the biggest bit of news, drama, whatever you want to call it, was Caleb Williams sitting in a college basketball game with his right hand wrapped in a cast. It was the USC-Wisconsin game. And you're like, whoa, this is the one thing. This is with everything that is going on with the Bears right now, with the coaching search going on and so many people being critical of the coaching search and wondering what's going on with George McCaskey and Kevin Warren and whomever the next head coach is going to be and Ryan Poles. Like, this was the one that you could ill afford. Don't want to see that. I should probably tell the people too before you go crazy, the ones that don't know yet. No big deal. Caleb Williams had a cyst removed from his hand. Elective surgery, as we call it. He is fine. He's going to be okay. He may be okay now. But to have seen that and to not have gotten a lot of elaboration from the announcers who were calling the game, like, I understand they're not in the Bears bubble and nor are they necessarily in the NFL bubble, but it's not just, oh, hey, there's Caleb Williams hanging up. Whoa, what's that thing on his hand? What is going on?
All right, let's just stay calm here. Don't get all crazy on me.
Yeah. So that's what really got me up off the couch yesterday in terms of everything that was going on. But yes, headline, Caleb Williams is okay. I see you guys lining up, man. You guys are anxious to talk Bears. 312-644-6767. And I'm just getting cooking here right now. Because one thing I will say about Caleb Williams, you guys know that I've been supporting Caleb Williams since before he was here. I can admit it was a rocky year for Caleb Williams, not as good as I thought it would be, and we can all talk about the reasons why, whether him, whether the roster, whether the coaching. I think it's all in play. I still think Caleb Williams is going to be really good. It'd be silly just to be like, after this year, to be like, yeah, Caleb's no good. He's a bust. He shouldn't have been the number one overall pick. I'm not going there. No, you can't. We didn't even go there with Justin Fields in year two. Full support. I had full support for Justin Fields in year two as well. But there were enough. Look, Caleb is a different quarterback than Justin. That's not the point or the direction that I want to go here. With the direction I want to go here is that watching Washington beat Detroit yesterday, 45-31, Jaden Daniels, 22 of 31, 299 yards and two TDs. All I'll say about this is that Caleb Williams isn't close to Jaden Daniels yet. The Bears' offense is not close to what they are doing in Washington at this moment. And that scares me a little bit. As much support as I do have for Caleb Williams and just seeing him since training camp, I have chosen to look at the optimistic side and the good things that Caleb has done to rule and inform my opinion while not forgetting about the bad that occurred. It all gets taken into account. But watching Jaden Daniels and the way he plays and the way they use him, and hey man, Cliff Kingsbury over Ben Johnson yesterday, BTW. I mean, that was Cliff's game. Hey, Ben Johnson, 2 out of 3 with the trick plays. A couple of pretty sick trick plays coming out of Ben Johnson yesterday, the little counter reverse to Jameson Williams, the sick lateral goes from Goff to David Montgomery. Yeah, Monty's back, who shoveled it to St. Brown for a nice gain. And then, uh-oh, we got a little bit too cute on the reverse. Jameson Williams option heaves it down the field to did the Detroit wide receiver for an interception. So while it looked great for the first two and a lot of people were celebrating Ben Johnson's moves, like, I get it, in our Bears ecosystem, look at that. Look at what Ben Johnson can do. That's an offensive coordinator. And then he had Jameson Williams throw an interception.
That was a fit pick!
A fit pick indeed. It reminded me, that play, that throw by Jameson Williams was just like the Keenan Allen throw an interception this year, where I really do think it gets in the head of wide receivers or running backs if they are the one to be on the option play and they get to throw the ball. If they get an opportunity to throw the football in a game, you're damn right they're going to do it. That's what's going through their head. Keenan Allen forced one. Come on, Keenan. You knew there was two defenders there, but he was going to throw the ball. Same thing happened to Jameson Williams yesterday. You're damn right. If I get a chance to throw the ball, I'm going to throw the ball. I don't care if it's going to be intercepted. And it was. So Kingsbury, definitely with the victory over Ben Johnson yesterday. And really, just look at the body of work for Kingsbury. And this is not leading up to me thinking that Kingsbury should be the next Bears head coach. As a matter of fact, I don't think that is the case. Just from things that I hear, I don't know that. And look, there's an example of it with his coaching in Arizona, if you would like. I don't think he is that. Like, when we talk about leader of men, if you really want to get into that, and culture, and I know my podcast partner on Take the North, Dan Wiederer, can't handle that word anymore. So sorry, Dan, if you're listening. But he is not that guy, or does not come across as that guy. So I'd be a little bit worried. But the overall thing, the overall alarm in my head was that Caleb Williams a debate. Like, during the part of the season where Jaden Daniels kind of was struggling a little bit and Washington was struggling a little bit and Caleb started to come on, there was actually a debate maybe middle of the season or a case for Caleb Williams having the better year, but that was not the case by a long shot. And then to see what Jaden Daniels did yesterday against Detroit, throwing for nearly 300 yards and doing it in a surgical way, doing it on fourth down plays, doing it when he has three different options and he has to choose whether he wants to run, hand it off, or throw. And he just looked so, so good and so advanced. And whatever they have done in Arizona, and I've come off the idea that they're just babying Jaden Daniels. They're just treating him like they did in college, and eventually he's not going to be able to get away with that kind of stuff. That, to hell with that. They may advance the offense this year, but a lot of it is going to be because Jaden Daniels is good. This is not just a system quarterback. Like, I think we could all see it, and I understand that I'm a prisoner of the moment, but boy, did that guy look good. Caleb Williams and the Bears have a long way to go to get the offense and to get Caleb Williams looking like that. So it's a little bit of a concern. That's what went through my brain watching the game yesterday. So as I told you, Eddie George interviewed, or is perhaps still interviewing right now. We'll wait for the official tweet from the Bears where they let the world know that they have officially interviewed somebody. As I said, that they would do during the recent press conference, that if the coaches are game, the Bears will put it out there. They will make it official. But yeah, like Eddie George, again, does not seem qualified to me. The Bears yesterday also interviewed Adam Stenovich. Yes, the former offensive tackle with Carolina, Green Bay, Dallas, and Houston. He has been the offensive coordinator of Green Bay since 2022 for Matt LaFleur. So it would be difficult for me to think that he has a whole lot of say in what's happening on game day with Matt LaFleur there calling the plays. Stenovich has also coached at San Francisco, San Jose State, Northern Arizona, Michigan, mostly in his career too. When you just go through it, it's been as an offensive line coach. So I don't think Stenovich has a prayer. He could be a guy on the rise. He seems like the guy that you would want on your sideline, but not yet. Not yet for Stenovich. Not gonna happen. I think, a very complicated case as far as the Bears coaching is concerned is Brian Flores, the Vikings DC. He was the Miami head coach from 2019 to 2021. Conflict with management led him to being fired after 2021. As a lot of you know, Brian Flores filed a class action lawsuit against the NFL alleging racial discrimination in the league's treatment of minority coaches and execs. And some of the players from Miami had nasty things to say about Brian Flores, the man and the coach, including Tua Tagovailoa. So that's a kind of a controversial figure, but God, I'd love to have that defense, that mentality on the Bears, if nothing else, but for to have that style of defense back in Chicago again. I mean, it's easy to say that's going to satisfy a certain contingent of the Bears listening audience and the Bears audience, period. It would also satisfy me to have, it's been a long time since the Bears have had like a really like attacking style defense. Maybe Vic Fangio to some degree back in 2018, but really since going back to a 4-3 and what they were doing under Matt Eberflus, we know how much difficulty they had getting to the quarterback. So I love the idea of Brian Flores if, for nothing else, but for that. We'll take the defense. Come on in. Overpay this man to at least be your defensive coordinator. I still wouldn't sleep on him. So let me just do this really quickly, and I'll grab a couple of your calls. Who are the qualified head coaches for the Chicago Bears right now? I would put Brian Flores in that category. Yeah. He's been a head coach. He was a relatively successful head coach in terms of wins or losses. Mike McCarthy is qualified to be the Bears' next head coach. Pete Carroll is qualified to be the next Bears' head coach. Ron Rivera is qualified to be the next Bears' head coach. And I think Ben Johnson is qualified to be the Bears' next head coach in that we have to allow for some of the unknown when it comes to potential hirees or the lists of guys that Bears fans are looking at and that we are all looking at. I don't know if Ben Johnson is the guy that commands the room and has the attention of every single player in that locker room, but it, you know, he does seem like the right fit for an offense, which I just said is well behind where it needs to be right now. And what Jaden Daniels did yesterday is certainly an element of proof. So those are my qualified guys. 312-644-6767 is the number. I'm Mark Grody here with you until 1:30 on The Score. And we do go to the phone lines now. We start with Mike in Rockford. Mike, you're on The Score. What's going on, buddy? Oh, Michael. Do we have Mike? We might have some phone problems. Should I try the next one, Tyler? What do you think, bud? All right, let's try another one. We might be having some technical difficulties today, folks. Please bear with us. Bears. This is Sheik on the West Side. Sheik. Sheik, Sheik. Sheik, Sheik. All right, Sheik will not be. Okay. All right, we are, please bear with us. We are having some technical difficulties with the phone, so we apologize to all the folks that have been trying to call in here. In a little bit, we are going to talk to Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic. So that's about 12:40 or so. I do have some Cubs things I want to discuss as well. There was another game yesterday, too, beyond the Washington win over Detroit, 45-31. And I know you looked at that from a Bears angle. I looked at the Kansas City-Houston game from a Chicago angle as well that I wasn't necessarily expecting to have come to my brain. And that was during this Kansas City 23-14 win over Houston. It just made me think of and remember how awesome it is when your team is in contention to win a championship every single year. And I know things suck in Chicago sports right now in terms of winning and losing and our teams. I mean, it's 0-4 over our last five. But in most of our lifetimes, people listening right now, we have gotten to experience that with the 90s Bulls, that every single year that there was a chance to win a title. And along the way, there were ugly wins. There were some nasty losses. I'm talking about in any of the playoff series, even in the championship series. There were grinded out games. There were times where you felt like the Bulls were maybe not as good on certain nights. And I would say even in the sixth and final title, the Utah Jazz on the overall might have been the better team. And that's the way Kansas City is, man. Like yesterday, Patrick Mahomes was not great in that game. I mean, in terms of the overall numbers, 177 and a TD. 16 of 25, 177 and a TD. Certainly found Travis Kelce with 7 catches for 117 yards and a touchdown. Chief defense was great, especially late, 8 sacks in the game. But it just reminded me of that feeling. And that, and this is good and bad for fan bases too. Nothing else is acceptable right now for the fan base than to get to the Super Bowl. That's where the bar is set. It's a hard bar, man. I mean, I remember being a Bulls fan and expecting that, but I also remember how stressful it was that what Kansas City did yesterday, while extremely entertaining and a good win and a good game over a Texans team that I thought actually played better than I thought it would, these are hard, hard games to win for Kansas City, but nobody cares because the bar is set at Super Bowl. That's it. For the Bulls, it was set at NBA titles, not just getting there. For a while, it was the same thing with the Blackhawks. Same thing with the Blackhawks, where that was where the bar was set. Winning a cup, getting there, and that feeling that you have as a fan where it gets pretty scary. Like, there were some quiet moments in Kansas City yesterday because you could just feel the fans, like, we have a certain expectation here, and that is to win these games and to win Super Bowls, but it's been a grinded-out type of year for the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm with everybody, too, on the game yesterday. I'm typically the last person to really bitch about reffing in any sport. Like, I generally find it to be a waste of time on the radio, so I guess maybe I'm breaking my own rule and I'm wasting time on the radio right now. But man, those refs yesterday in the Kansas City-Houston game were not missing a single penalty called against the Texans, like everything. And I'm not just talking about the 2 roughing calls, neither of which necessarily had to be called. And I think you can make a case for one of them, but just throughout the game, it just felt like they were, even on the touchdown to give Houston their 13th point and eventually 14th, there were penalties galore. It was like they got into the end zone despite their penalties. And maybe, look, if you go back and watch it, maybe the Houston Texans were just straight up sloppy in that game. But I do think that the refs really had their eyes out for the Texans for whatever reason. And I'm not saying any refs are being paid to tilt the game, but it could just be subconsciously because you've got the superstar of all superstars out there, really in sports, right? And Patrick Mahomes, he is the NFL right now. He's going for 3 in a row. And if he gets 3 in a row, we're going to be talking about starting to get into Tom Brady territory. He is absolutely the it guy. So I think that it does creep into their minds, whether subconsciously, They're looking, they're watching, they're protecting. I don't usually feel that kind of stuff. I really don't, but I did feel it yesterday. We're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back. I'm not sure if we're going to be able to take your calls, but it's possible. I've got Kevin Fishbane coming up to talk more Bears, more coaching search at 12:40, and there's so much to talk about with the Cubs. I'm Mark Grody. Here until 1:30 on The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody.
My God, what a happy day it is when I talk to Mark Grody and anybody else who's with him.
On Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Yes, sir. I am here with you. I love this song. Until 1:30. I had to think about that for a second. 312-644-6767 is the number. All sorts of things going on with the Bears. Eddie George interviewing. That's right, Eddie George, the running back, the Tennessee State University head coach, interviewing with the Bears. Adam Stenovich, the former offensive tackle and current Green Bay Packers offensive coordinator, getting his this weekend. Same with Brian Flores, the Vikings DC and the former Miami Dolphins head coach. We're going to talk more about it with Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic in about 10-15 minutes from right now. About 12:40 or so is when we will get to talk to Fishy Business. I'm going to talk to you again. We're going to try it again here in just a second. But I've gone this far without wondering how things are in Houston today for Kai Fairbairn. Oh, man. You know, I mean, I think that Chicago understands better than most cities. Oh, I'm sure there's probably about 10 cities around the NFL who truly understand the trauma of bad kicking in a game. And the Bears are one because there was a double doink in 2018 performed by Cody Parkey. But old Kai Fairbairn, the kicker of the Houston Texans, was missing it all yesterday and in miserable conditions. Got to give him that. But he missed an early extra point. He missed a 55-yarder. He had one blocked. So it was a bad day for Fairbairn of Houston. But let us get to some of your calls now. 312-644-6767. Ray is in Orland Park. What's up, Ray? You are on the score.
Hey, Mark. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, Ray.
Let's face it. This is a hard job, Mark, finding a head coach in the NFL. The revolving door for most teams is a reality. And let's face it, the Bears have hired every single kind of coach. You've hired the top coordinator, Dave Wannstedt, Matt Nagy. You've hired the three-tread rewrite with John Fox. You've gone obscure with Mark Trestman, and that worked out wonderfully now, didn't it? The only thing the Bears haven't done, which we know that they haven't done and they're probably never going to do, is get the fresh start guy when Andy Reid was available for the Chiefs or Jim Harbaugh last year, even Sean Payton. For some reason, those ones seem to work in round two, and that's the one time the Bears haven't. The bottom line is, Mark, Caleb Williams got to like the guy. Caleb Williams got to say what he wants, get the man what he wants, make it work. Thank you.
Thanks, bud. Well, Caleb Williams made it pretty clear on the St. Brown podcast that if all things are equal and if he had to say and he could push the button on what type of coach he would want, he has already said an offensive-minded guy. Because that he said that he would hope that he could build with over the next, I think he said something like 15, 16 years, which should be music to the ears of Bears fans because Caleb Williams is already talking about wanting to be a Bear for life, which I think is a good thing if he is going to continue to be as good as I think that Caleb Williams will be. But caller said something pretty important right there, and that is, it is, like, I guess it's a perspective we should all remember that in the NFL, head coaching, it doesn't last for anybody. The caller said revolving door. That is true. It's a revolving door for head coaches. It's a revolving door for offensive coordinators. And I laugh condescendingly just because we've seen them all. We've seen them all in Chicago. But those are head coaching in the NFL and offensive coordinators, they are hard to find. My friend Jeff Joniak was the one that said that those are, because we all like to make hyperbolic statements, but I actually don't think it was from Jonesy in this case, that finding offensive coordinators, and I think he said head coaches too, one of the hardest things to find and to be good at in all of sports, But the problem with the Bears, where they don't get excused on those generalities, has been the process, the formula with which they have hired head coaches typically has been a failure. The overall picture of the way business is done. Now, they are doing business differently this year. Is differently good? Guess we'll find out. Guess we'll find out if they've interviewed 17 people now. I think that's the list. 17 people. So, which I don't have as much of a problem. I mean, it's wow. It's eye-opening. And I understand where other NFL teams and executives and coaches might be looking at it like, what are they doing? All I know is that the Bears need to continue to do things differently in a lot of ways. And that includes the hiring process. So I'm not saying like talking to 17 coaches has like been a good thing. Yeah, that's what you do. That's a coaching search. But I'm also not here to knock it down as much as everybody else. Like, okay, if that's the way you want to do things differently and you're getting intel and maybe at the end of the day we find out what was going on with this process, that's fine. You're doing it differently. You do have somebody in there other than George McCaskey. You do have Kevin Warren there. I know people are skeptical of Kevin Warren in that regard, and maybe you should be, but that is doing it differently. And I don't have a problem with the network that I think that Kevin Warren has that he's involved in this. So at least it's being done differently. Will they come out with a win at the end of it? We'll see. We'll see if they do things differently. Doing things differently would be looking at a guy that has also been interviewed by the Bears, a guy that you will see on the sidelines tonight with Baltimore, and that'd be Todd Monken. If they are to really, truly consider Todd Monken, I think that would be, that would be going off the chart a little bit for the Bears just because, Todd Monken's got a little bit of nasty. Let's try this again with Sheik on the West Side. tried to get Sheik earlier. I want to talk to Sheik. Is Sheik there?
Yes, sir.
Sheik, what's up, buddy?
Bears. So I'm going to make six quick points.
Six.
I won't elaborate. I know time's important.
Yeah.
Number one, if Ben Johnson isn't available. So number one, Mike McCarthy, head coach. My two favorite Bears head coaches have been from the Pittsburgh area, Mike Ditka and Dave Wannstedt, and he fills that mode. Number two, defensive coordinator, Ron Rivera, in last week. You satisfy the Bears meatball fans. And the last time we had a really good coordinator was Vic Fangio. He was sage. And the last time we had a good defensive coordinator before him was Ron Rivera before they let him go after Super Bowl.
Where are we right now in this whole thing, Sheik? Was that three?
No. Well, okay. If you want to call it three, that's fine. Is the Mike McCarthy effect? We would get Micah Parsons because they have a good relationship.
Oh, okay.
And his contract's coming
more
up.
More like Bob Parsons, I think.
Micah Parsons? Really? I mean, on the Bears' defense?
No, it would be great. It would be great. I'm just saying. I think the chances of the Bears getting punter Bob Parsons. Do you remember Bob Parsons or no, Sheik? You don't go back as far as I do.
Well, I just turned 50 last month.
Oh, you should know. You should know Bob Parsons then.
Oh, man, I don't. And just my last 2 points.
Yes.
And it's so real quick. So Brett Favre was Green Bay, Jets, Vikings. Rodgers was Green Bay, Jets, and final year. Come to the Vikings and let's sign Corey Wooten for a one-day contract when we play in Minnesota so he can knock him out of football just like Favre did.
Bears, see you later, Sheik. I'll tell you one thing I wouldn't mind. I mean, in all of that, in the 6 points, in the great 6 points of Sheik, I would love it. Like, if Ron Rivera, like, if he wanted to be or allowed himself to be, because he probably could still get another head coaching job somewhere along the line. It's not going to be easy for Chico at this point, probably, but I wouldn't mind Ron Rivera at all being the Bears' defensive coordinator. And while we're putting this little dream team together, I wouldn't mind at all if Todd Monken was the offensive coordinator, bring in Ben Johnson to be the head coach, and there you have the Bears' next coaching staff, ladies and gentlemen. Let's talk further about it here next with Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic. I'm Mark Grody on The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody.
I called him the khaki pants at The Score. Versatile, valuable. Wrinkle free.
On Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Ugh. When you talk about coaches, like, having a wide enough pool where there might be some coaches that surprise you, are all options on the table? Would you consider giving up draft capital to trade for a coach of a current who's currently employed by another team?
Yeah, we'll look at all avenues to get the best coach here.
Oh, man. It's all on the table. And they said that we might be seeing some surprises with the head coaching search. We haven't seen that yet, or an actual offer for a standing head coach to bring to Chicago. But Eddie George was interviewed this morning, or being interviewed this morning, the former running back, the current Tennessee State University head coach, where he's been since 2021. So I thought that was a bit out of left field, as we'd welcome you back in here on The Score. That was the voice of the general manager of the Chicago Bears, Ryan Poles. And you're about to hear another great voice here on The Score, because joining us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline from The Athletic, he is the one and only Fishy Business, Kevin Fishbane. Download the Circa app today. If you're on hold right now, we might get to you. We might even get to you during the Fishy Business segment. Kevin, what's going on, man? Thanks for jumping on Sunday, brother. How are you?
I'm good, Grody. You know it is an honor to get to talk to you on a Sunday, well, on any day.
Well, it should be, especially considering the fact we are on Twitch today, man. So act accordingly. It's a big day here on a Sunday at The Score.
Yeah, no, I was ready for it. And, you know, Grody, the nice thing about not having hair anymore is I don't have to worry about, you know, doing my hair because I'm about to go on Twitch with Grody.
It's funny you say that, because I did not know we were going to be on Twitch until about 10 minutes before the show. So I was very comfortable with the horrible winter hat head that I was going to be displaying, not on camera. So now I am displaying a horrible winter hat head as we do this interview. But let's get on with it, Fishy Business. And I really want to know, like, is the Eddie George interview, is that the one? Is that the big surprise? Is that the one from out of left field? Have we already had that surprise, or is Eddie George it?
Yeah, Eddie George might be it. That one is definitely up there. I mean, David Shaw, I thought, was kind of a surprise. I know there was interest in Matt Campbell, and I don't know where that's at, the Iowa State head coach. Mm-hmm. And then you talk about Marcus. I don't think Marcus Freeman would actually be much of a surprise if they end up interviewing him. But yeah, I think Eddie George is probably your surprise. He does. Look, he spent time here in May of 2023. Actually, I went back and looked it up, Grody. He spoke to the team.
Oh, yeah.
Matt Eberflus had Eddie George, who was here on the Bill Walsh Coaching Fellowship, speak to the Bears, and players asked him questions. You know, guy who's Hall of Fame caliber player, incredible college football player, and now is a college coach. So he's been in the building. I'm sure, you know, he certainly, there's familiarity there with the front office, which is kind of interesting. But yeah, this one was surprising. And it would be even more surprising if somebody went from being the head coach where Eddie George is to then being the head coach of the Chicago Bears. That would be, not to say Eddie George won't be a good NFL head coach one day. It's just that is in quite the leap.
Yeah, that's the problem with a lot of these candidates that come in that the Bears have interviews. Like, we don't need necessarily to rip these guys because they're getting interviews and it's good for them. And hopefully in the future, they will be. I mean, you could say that about Thomas Brown. You know, Thomas Brown, hopefully he will get a job as a head coach somewhere in the NFL or offensive coordinator, which I know he's been interviewing for. So I guess in that vein, Kevin, we could put Adam Stanovich, the Green Bay offensive coordinator, probably in that same pack, right? Like, he's not a serious candidate, is he? But he did an interview with the Bears yesterday.
Look, Grody, I mean, if they hire Adam Stanovich, you could argue he would kind of be the Matt Eberflus potentially of this cycle, right? Like, where he's somebody that, I mean, how many Bears fans knew who Adam Stanovich was before his name got popped into the, you could throw Drew Petzing in there. Ooh. As well. I'm just thinking about guy, because that was the, when the Bears requested to interview Matt Eberflus, like hand up, I had no idea who he was. I was not tracking the Indianapolis Colts defense in 2021. And so there are certainly guys on this list that would fall in that category as people who, you know, Bears fans, football fans outside the cities where those guys are coaches might not be familiar with. And again, to echo what you just said, all of these guys could end up being good head coaches one day. They could be head coaches one day. I don't know. But you just, you know, I understand. And look, I have made fun of how many guys the Bears are interviewing. But, you know, you have Adam Stanovich in there. You could talk to him about Mike McCarthy. You could talk to him about the Packers. You could talk to him about what you could say, hey, Adam, we're never able to sack Jordan Love when we play you. Like, why is that? When you have a Drew Petzing in from Arizona, you could say, hey, Drew, like, what did you see from our team when you guys ran all over us in that game earlier this season? You know, so you can kind of go down the line. Mike Kafka, hey, Mike, you were with Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. What are some of the things that Patrick and Andy Reid did or have accomplished there that tells you how to have the right coach with a young quarterback? So, like, I feel like Eddie George, you know, hey, Eddie, you know, you were here in the spring a couple of years ago. What did you observe? Now that you're a college coach, what are some of the things that you're seeing from now that with NIL and all this different stuff going on? Like, again, you could learn stuff from all of these guys. Hey, maybe some of these guys could be part of the next staff too. But I think, Grody, when it comes down to decision time, with everything the Bears have gone through over the past several coaching searches, especially the most recent one, it is going to be an incredibly difficult sell if that person that they introduce is not one of the quote-unquote big names out there.
Let's talk about who the actual big names are and the guys that are qualified. And I guess we'll start with Ben Johnson, because he and Detroit were eliminated by Washington yesterday.
Who's this Ben Johnson you speak of? I haven't heard much about this guy.
You know who he is, Fishy? He's a trick play artist. That's who he is.
There you go.
Two out of three yesterday anyway. Ain't bad. What are the chances? I mean, I was talking about this with Weider the other day on Take the North. At that time, I think I said 40, this is what, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, I said 45% chance that Ben Johnson is the guy. I think Weider said a little bit over 50%. I think he said 55%. What do you think the chances are of Ben Johnson coming to the Bears now that he can do whatever the hell he wants in terms of in-person interviews now that the Lions have been eliminated?
Yeah, I'll go 47%.
Nice. You and I, bro.
There we go.
Yep, you and I.
I still think if Ben Johnson is who everybody is building him up to be, and if he's approaching this process the way that it is being reported, I feel like a team like the Raiders is going to have an edge in that he can be part of the GM search. And I just can't ignore that. Now, obviously, there's a lot more work the Raiders have to do in the quarterback category. They're in a tough division. The Bears are also a tough division, but they have the quarterback. So, you know, I just wonder if we're building Ben Johnson up to be this, you know, the best head coaching candidate the world has seen. Like, to put it this way, Grody, best coaching candidate working with Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren doesn't mesh with me. It's just like everything we know about the Bears' power structure, you would think that somebody who is that highly coveted like would not necessarily be thrilled about the way the Bears are currently constructed and would want to be, you know, in line with the GM a little more than he would be here. Now, again, this is all just based on what has been kind of said and reported, a lot of rumors. So that's why I lean towards kind of no. But again, he's like, you cannot doubt his offensive mind. And I've said this since Thanksgiving, Mark. If you're the Bears, you need a public win. You need a PR victory.
Yeah.
And there is no greater victory than hiring Ben Johnson. So nobody knows what kind of head coach is going to be, but I sure well know that if the Bears hire Ben Johnson, Bears fans are going to be very, very happy about a decision that their team made. And you can't say that very often.
Yeah, there's really nobody else on the list that would move the meter like that. I think that Bears fans, and maybe even the media to obviously a different extent, could make the case for somebody like Mike McCarthy to be the next head coach. Pete Carroll, maybe, to a different angle, lower angle, maybe Ron Rivera. But I don't know if there's anybody like, but those guys aren't even in the category of Ben Johnson. He's the only big PR win, isn't he? Is there anybody, am I missing something here of a candidate that's out there other than trading for a coach, which I would think we would have heard more about that if that was even being worked on?
Yeah, the only other one was Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
I think he was the guy. It was Johnson and Vrabel are the two, you know, supposed top candidates. So Vrabel would have been that guy. But obviously you had the thing with Vrabel of, well, who's his offensive coordinator be? And you're not going to have that with Ben Johnson because he's going to be the one presumably calling the plays. You know, the Mike McCarthy one is interesting, Grody, because like I don't want to come off as this like Mike McCarthy stan, like that I'm not banging the table for anybody, right? But like, I feel like people, who are Bears fans to think that they're too good for Mike McCarthy?
Right.
You know,
right.
Who are the Bears if they think that? Like, yeah. Like this guy wins and he wins with offense. Like, how could the Bears not want that?
Yeah.
And not to mention that every question you have about Ben Johnson, you don't have that with Mike McCarthy when it comes to like, how is this guy going to be as a head coach, as someone running the building? So again, like I just feel like, you know, maybe it's like, I'm considering it my job almost, Grody, to remind Bears fans of that.
Yeah.
To like maybe almost prepare them for the possibility and just say, hey, listen, this guy, and I've said it on this airwaves, I'm going to say it again. Mike McCarthy has as many playoff wins individually as the Bears have in 60 years.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Okay, so you could say a lot of the same things about Pete Carroll. And, you know, the biggest difference, obviously, with Pete Carroll is age and not being kind of an offensive guy. So I think, unfortunately, the tea leaves aren't telling us a whole lot, and so much of this is built up by the media, but it's easy to understand why there's a perception that Ben Johnson, Mike McCarthy could be the two top candidates at this juncture. And you know, there's always going to be a wild card. You know, we don't know if any of those other 15 people blew Ryan Poles and the hiring committee away with their Zoom, and they get an opportunity to come in this week and do even better in person. So we'll wait and see on that.
You are the greatest Kevin Fishbane of all time for coming on a Sunday, brother. I appreciate you so much, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
You got it, buddy. That is Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic. You should read him. It's always good. You should follow him on Twitter as well. That Fishy Business? Is that what it is? No, I'm sorry. At K Fishbane, if you'd like to follow Kevin Fishbane on Twitter. You know, another thing about McCarthy, too, that actually bodes well for the organization, I guess. And, you know, we're all taking shots at the organization, the way that they have done things. I started the show talking about it. But Mike McCarthy went running to the Bears once he was allowed to. And I get it. Some of that is probably age. You get to a certain age, you get a little insecure about jobs and where your next job is coming from. Maybe Mike McCarthy thought he had to act fast, but nobody should know more about the quote-unquote dysfunction that exists with the Bears than Mike McCarthy, and he could not have gotten to Halas Hall faster. He accepted the dinner and everything that went on, so that should tell you a little something. I mean, that's a win for the Bears in the category of, does it really matter that the Bears can be dysfunctional in their hiring processes? No. To a large degree, coaches are still running to the Bears. And I'll say this too, like Kevin made a great point about like Mike McCarthy and Pete Carroll. Who are we to pick these guys apart? But there is some well-earned greed when the hiring window comes open from the part of Bears fans, because we have seen it. We just saw it fail miserably with Matt Eberflus. It ultimately failed with Matt Nagy. It was a failure with Matt Nagy because he was the offensive guy who was supposed to fix the offense, and the offense looked worse when he left the building. So that was a bad fail for Matt Nagy as well. So I get it. Like, while we're here, like, we may as well check and balance the Bears and what they are doing and be greedy about the next head coach and impose our wills, make our voices be heard, because it hasn't existed in a semi-consistent way, winning that is, since Lovie Smith. Lovie Smith is the only other actually successful head coach that the Bears have had since Mike Ditka. It's been Mike Ditka, Lovie Smith, and then a few individual good moments for other coaches throughout the cycles for the Bears. So I actually get the greed that is going on and the idea that Bears fans feel like they got it coming. That is something good. And I feel like Ben Johnson's the only one that could satiate that or satisfy that. Got to take a break. When we come back, you know, we'll take some of these Bears calls, 312-644-6767. Do you guys still want to talk Bears? I do have to get into some things about the Cubs convention and things that Tom Ricketts was saying and the hilarious Sammy Sosa, something that Ryan Dempster did during the Ryan Dempster show. Going to try to get it all in here in the next half an hour. I'm Mark Grody on The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody.
Watch me flip these puppies.
On Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Welcome back in. Eddie George interviewing with the Bears as we speak, I think. Bears have not made the conclusion of that interview official as of yet. Caleb Williams, the Bears quarterback, had a cyst removed from his throwing arm, which alarmed everybody yesterday when there was a photo of him sitting there with a cast on his right hand at a basketball game, at a USC-Wisconsin game yesterday. He's okay. Everything is fine. Caleb Williams is going to be okay. And I don't think there's anybody in the Bears universe that will be satisfied unless the Bears land Ben Johnson at this point. It feels like the mystery guy in terms of, can he be a head coach? He's the guy that you should take a chance on. And if it's anybody else in terms of winning the head coaching search, Bears fans are going to be really disappointed. Are you a local business owner or employee? How would you like to have your commercial air during Super Bowl 59 right here on The Score? Today is the last day to enter the Score Big for Your Business contest, with the grand prize being 30-second commercial to air within The Score's broadcast of Super Bowl 59 from Westwood One. Here's how you do it. Log on to 670thescore.com/contests to enter now and learn more details. The deadline is today. 312-644-6767. We have a packed phone set here right now. I'm only here till 1:30. So let's get rocking on some of these. And I do want to talk a little bit about the Cubs as well. We start with Raj in Naperville. What's up, Raj? You're on The Score.
Hey, nice talking to you. I enjoy your show very much.
Thanks, Raj.
After you go to the Bears' history, you start off with the coin toss that they lost, Roger Staubach, Terry Bradshaw. Mm-hmm. Then you go to another era of Ben Sevens and Bob Avellini, and we had McMahon. Then we had a chance to get quarterback. Then we had another chance to get another good quarterback. Here's the problem that I have with the quarterback that the Bears have right now. You know, it just does not know how to look at the defense. He does not stay in the pocket. And, it's the hype. Oh, he throws great. So did Mike Tomczak. Remember him?
He used to
throw beautifully.
I don't think Mike Tomczak wasn't throwing like Caleb Williams, though.
I know, but he used to throw pretty far and pretty good.
Okay.
The problem with the thing is he's not even active. How many games do we go through without a score in the first quarter?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we're always scoring in the third. He's scoring in the fourth. We screwed up again. We screwed up again by picking this guy.
Oh,
we should have had a more depth in looking in Daniel. This guy is going to take this team to a Super Bowl in his first year. Come on. You know, what's wrong with Chicago?
Thanks, Raj. Great call, buddy. I appreciate it. Looks like somebody – I mean, hey, that is real Bears trauma that he's dealing with right there. I'm kind of joking around, but that's real stuff that Bears fans have to endure. So I can't get mad at anybody who thinks that. I don't agree with you. I don't think Caleb Williams is going to be a bust. I think Caleb Williams is going to be good, but I understand the panic. I do. You've seen it. You just saw it twice with Mitch Trubisky and Justin Fields. And you just saw a really meh year from Caleb Williams for sure. And yeah, those early bad starts, that lands on Caleb Williams. You know, I mean, I ran out of opportunities to make excuses for Caleb Williams on those first drives because he was the common denominator, and he made some bad throws early on in drives this year, made some bad decisions, took some bad sacks throughout the year for sure. So, the bad is the bad of Caleb Williams. That's we're not grading this guy like a high school kid. There were bad moments for Caleb Williams this year. There were also some spectacular moments for Caleb Williams this year. There were also some really good fourth quarters for Caleb Williams this year. And that's one of the hardest parts to get down as a quarterback in the NFL, like when it really matters. So now he's got to piece it together with those first three quarters, tighten up some of the issues that he has had. He's been in on the pre-snap penalties as well, going back to camp. The cadence issue was a thing for a lot of the year, for a lot of the moment as well, but there is still too much talent there. He is more talented than Mitch Trubisky, than Justin Fields, I'm sorry to say it, than Mike Tomczak. And hey, I can talk Mike Tomczak. I am qualified. Tomczak was not close to the talent that Caleb Williams is. Now, will that be molded properly? My God, so much of it depends on who gets hired next. 312-644-6767. George is on The Score. Georgie.
Hey, Mr. Grody, I like your show.
Thanks, George.
I'm a longtime listener.
Oh, thanks.
I'm going to be 76 on Thursday. So if that gentleman from Naperville was hurting, I've been hurting a lot longer than he has.
Happy birthday, George.
Thanks. But, you know, to me, we should clean house from top to bottom.
Oh.
You know, they should have done that last year, so I blame Poles and Warren for not cleaning house. They should also go. You're going to leave them pick another guy, and they'll screw that up, just like the keeping Eberflus and then the, all the guys that were represented by the one agent that was a former Bear. I mean, what is this?
Trace Armstrong.
Are we hiring buddies? Or we're hiring to win.
Yeah, the process the process has been flawed, George. There is no doubt about it.
Well, you know, we had a chance last year to get a guy that was coaching Michigan, and we didn't even interview him.
Right.
And now, Harbaugh. I don't care what the excuse was, you know, because, you know, what is it? You were afraid to win? Is that your excuse?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Harbaugh, when he coached, when he left Stanford and went to San Francisco, his first year, remember the quarterback that started for the first game against the Bears in Soldier Field? Kaepernick?
Oh, yeah, right. That was his move. Yeah, and he was great.
And they took him to, and they went to the Super Bowl, right, and he lost to his brother.
That was, he insisted upon that. That was a ballsy move by Harbaugh, no doubt about it. That's a good point there.
He also coached a guy named Luck.
Yeah.
At Stanford.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you don't have to boot. Look, we know. George, thanks for the call, and happy birthday to you, my friend. I appreciate you calling here. Yeah, everybody knows how qualified Jim Harbaugh was. I think the Bears were afraid of Jim Harbaugh. Plus, for some reason, they had full faith in Matt Eberflus, which was exactly the wrong decision. So I think you're singing to the choir here. Man, these are rough, these first two, man. We got a Caleb is a bus call and the clean house. Clean house. Change is wanted. Change is being demanded by the Bears. And let's see what happens at the end of this cycle. Do they come up with somebody that will satisfy people? Is it different? Do they get the hot shot offensive coordinator? Is the infrastructure strong enough? Is what exists strong enough? Is what is promised by the Bears, salary cap and whatnot, not strong enough to make Ben Johnson want to choose the Bears over the Raiders? Those are all very possible things that are going to occur here. So those are all the things that you have to think about right now when it comes to the Bears. Do they have what Ben Johnson wants? And if they do, great. Everybody is applauding. If they don't, unfortunately, the Bears are in a situation, whether fair or not, anybody else is the consolation prize at this point. That even Mike McCarthy and the other qualified candidates, Pete Carroll, I think Flores is qualified. I think Ron Rivera is qualified. I think Mark in Oak Lawn wants to be on the score. What's up, Marky Mark?
Wow. I appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah.
I love your show. It's very, very good. You got a lot of enthusiasm. And
thanks.
You got some history. You really know the Bear going back to almost the 60s. It's impressive.
I'm a historian. I'm a Bears historian. I'm not that old.
Good,
I wasn't
good.
Alive in the 60s, but guess what? I am a Bears historian and a Bears enthusiast, so I appreciate you noticing.
I was alive in the 60s, and I've watched a lot of games, and I'll tell you, I think Ben Johnson, you know, you really make some good points about him. I don't think he's going to want to come here for the reason that Ryan Poles is supposedly the offensive line guru, and their offensive line, you've got three or four guys that aren't even going to be on the team next year. I mean, it's a total rebuild, and that's where the game all starts, at the offensive line. So why would he want to come there? Doesn't make any sense. But I was going to make the point, you know, there's a guy at Minnesota, Josh McGown, who was an ex-player with the Bears, terrific quarterback. But, you know, the Bears, he came in and played, and they had a chance to sign him. He was, I don't know if you remember him, but
of course.
But they re-signed Jay Cutler to an extension.
Yeah.
And McGown was definitely the better player. And it's just the decision-making is atrocious. And that guy make a good point about Harbaugh. You know, he'd be a great coach. I even like your own Olin Krutz. You know, he would be but he was offered $15 an hour, you know. It's just ridiculous. And Kevin Warren, he has no relationship with Jim Harbaugh. He was like, they were enemies in the Big Ten. He wanted nothing to do with them. And I just look at the Bears are, you know, going back to the Dave McGinnis hire when they didn't even contact him and tell him that they asked him. You know, they made an announcement, Mike McCaskey. I mean,
oh, yeah.
That's just – You can't make that stuff up.
No, you
can't.
These
are guys that went to Harvard and Yale and all these fancy schools. They're knuckleheads. They don't know what they're doing.
Mark, great. I appreciate it. Ed. Oh, man. This is a hilarious day. I was just thinking about the – it was Phil Emery, by the way. The general manager was Phil Emery, who did give the extension to Jay Cutler when Josh McGowan was the second stringer. Had some success, for sure, did Josh McCown with the Bears. I mean, there is no doubt about it. Like, he had some really good moments. Somehow, some way, he and Jay Cutler were like besties. But I got to tell you, like, when they gave Cutler the extension, then I did not have a problem with it. And maybe it's for the same reason that a lot of Bears fans, maybe you didn't have a problem with it either. Because Jay Cutler, out of this like crew of recent quarterbacks, like I'll add Jay Cutler to the Justin Fields, Mitch Trubisky, and Caleb Williams pile. Like, Jay Cutler never was, he had some bad games. Look, he got benched eventually for Todd Collins, right? Like, he definitely had some bad moments. But on the overall, Jay Cutler was just frustrating enough to want to keep seeing more of him. And what I mean by that is he was capable of the special 1 week, and then the next week, the dud. He was capable of the special on one throw, and then on the next throw, he's throwing into, you know, four guys defending somebody. He could be brilliant, and he could be dumb on the field, which was just enough in my head to be like, yeah, bring him back. Bring him back. You know, that he never sucked is what made it difficult with Jay Cutler. And that never reached the peak that I think he was expected to reach, Jay Cutler. But he was good. And that was what made him frustrating, and that's why at the time when they did that, I was okay with it. I think that was the least of the issues for Phil Emery, though, giving an extension to Jay Cutler when he did.
Gosh, that's the worst.
Is that Cutler? Is that Cuddy right there? You are.
Yeah, that was Cutler.
You are a beaut. You really are. Let's go to, is this Flaggy? Is that what you got next year for me?
Yes, Flaggy.
Yeah, Flaggy. Flaggy! What's up, man?
Unlock me.
Hey,
Mark Grody, big fan of yours.
Oh, thanks, bud.
Shout out to my buddy Dave for turning me onto the station so many years ago. I love you guys.
Everybody shout out, Dave.
Everybody for keeping the sports conversation never ending. You guys are doing great work. We all know this is what's really important. Regarding the Bears head coaching search, I love Pete Carroll. I don't know why they didn't just do the Sham Rooney the way New England did and already get him in the building. I don't know if anyone's mentioned, but Carolina's pass game coordinator is his son, Nate Carroll. He has another offensive-minded son. So if you're worried about his age or whatever, I don't know. This country is just done with a 78-year-old getting a four-year contract, and we got another one coming in. 73-year-old from a local football team.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about it. Nobody knows how much time they got left. Big Mike and old Pete are both 11-11 in the playoffs. That's a lot of playoffs.
Yeah, it's a lot of playoffs. It is.
670, thanks for letting me ride your whiz. I love you guys. Have a good day.
Flaggy, you're the good. Flaggy, you had a plan, man. I like that call. Hey, the Pete Carroll thing, I don't know, like, where Pete Carroll is in terms of, you know, is he really, is he good to go? Is everything there at the age of 73? That would be up to, did you trust the Bears to be able to pin that down in his hopefully long interview? But, yeah, Pete Carroll, I mean, really, like, if you want to look at, like, coaching and what he did with Seattle, Pete Carroll, he might be the most qualified, of anybody to do this. In the playoffs, every year he was with Seattle, got to rebuild the team. That was a rebuild. And that was Pete Carroll who rebuilt a team that went to two Super Bowls and they won one. So there's a case for Pete Carroll to get this gig. Julie is in Michigan. Hello, Julie, Michigan.
Hello, how are y'all doing?
Oh, just the best, Julie. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I just want to address that. No matter who you bring in, offensive coordinator or whatever, he can have you be brilliant like Ben Jones from the Lions. But unless you get an offensive line to protect and use all those weapons that we do have, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
We need an offensive line with continuity and consistency.
Yeah.
We can't have a whirlwind of players coming in, oh, I'm hurt because I hurt my ankle. We need guys that will suck up and play ball.
Amen. Appreciate it, Julie. You're right. We've got to take one more call here. It's Wayne in Lafayette. What's up, Wayne?
Happy New Year, Mark Grody, my buddy.
My
How
man.
Are you, bud?
Ah, dude. Wayne, I'm good now that I'm hearing from you. I'm doing great, actually.
Me too, buddy.
I'm just talking, man.
A lot,
I'm talking Bears. Hey. I'm inside. I'm warm. Going to watch some football today. I mean, come on.
And, man, what happened to the doggone Lions anyway? Well, anyway, we won't dwell on that. Anyway, man, oh, man, you know, we see what happened with Daniels when he's got some good coaching, what he's doing right now. And when we got a good guy, and when we get some good coaching for him, he's going to be okay. And I think if they don't get Ben Johnson, they better go with Pete Carroll, because he'll put it together in a hurry. He'll have some great people in there. Everybody will be in a good mood, and everybody will be happy, and we'll be winning ball games, and we'll be having a good team. And George McCaskey needs to take off the clown suit and put on his big boy pants and get us a good coach for a change, because, I mean, we really need one, buddy.
Yeah,
I mean,
Wayne, you are
You know
correct.
It, old buddy.
Wayne, you're always right. You're always right. Wayne, you're the goods, man. Have a great rest of your Sunday, okay?
You too, old buddy. Love you a lot, Mark Grody. Oh. You're the very best there is, man. You're the very best, man. Oh. I'm just thank God for you. You're the best.
Wayne really laid it on thick today. See, that's why I wait till the end, so I can just walk out of here feeling great about myself. Thank you to Wayne. And I'll say at the beginning of the show, like, one thing that you have to admit watching Washington, whether you think Caleb's going to be it or not still, I think there's a very good chance that Caleb Williams is your quarterback for a long time, and that's good. He is not close to where Jaden Daniels is, and he hasn't been for a while. And hopefully the gap will be closed with what the Bears are attempting to do right now, but that gap certainly has to be closed. Man, I really wanted to leave like a decent amount of time to talk about the Cubs today. But I blew it. I couldn't help myself. I insisted upon myself, and we talked about Bears just about this entire show. The good news is, for me anyway, maybe for you, the listener too, I'd like to think it is, I will be filling in for Lawrence Holmes tomorrow, so I will be with Matt Spiegel. Something tells me Spiegs will be just as enthusiastic about talking about baseball and Cubs convention as I will be. So I will be able to talk in deeper form about it yesterday. But a few things that stood out to me, and I think one of the headlines there, the Sammy Sosa headline, because we have differing headlines from the convention. There's a real baseball headline that occurred this weekend, and there's the Sammy Sosa headline. Remember, Sammy Sosa put a vague, ambiguous apology in the letter that he made public in terms of wanting to essentially get back together with the Cubs. So all of us coming into this convention were wondering, what exactly was he apologizing for? What was Sammy trying to say sorry for? And finally, he was asked the question. I think it was David Haw who asked him the question. And basically, the paraphrased answer is Sosa saying, well, do we have time to play it right now over there, Tyler? Can we hear the answer? Or all right, here we go. Let's listen to Sosa's answer on why he was apologizing.
21 year, buddy. You know what I mean? Look, 21 years having been here. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, look, I mean, when you're growing up and you pretty much find the Lord, because I did, and you see things now differently. Before, it was hard for me, you know, to do that. But now, you know, I did it with, you know, I mean, with happiness. I mean, I did it because, you know, look, when I grew up, I mean, when I was playing, you know, I played great every day. I maybe heard some people that I don't even know about it. So that's why, I sent my statements. And I think it was, you know, fantastic. I mean, let's say 90% of the fan was very happy. 10%, you know, like always, is going to be say whatever they want. And, hey, so be.
But were you apologizing for something specific, for the way you played the game or for the way that you hit the home runs? Were you apologizing for anything specific?
Like I say, I was 21 years out, you know, without coming here to Chicago. And believe me, my friend, they love me, they support me. And definitely, that's one of the reasons why I did.
21 years, buddy. So that's what he was putting out there. That it was because his apology was to the fans for not having been around for the past 21 years. So Sammy had that answer ready to go all weekend. And you know what? Fine. It's frustrating. It's a bit maddening, But there was so much love for Sammy Sosa. I watched a great deal of the coverage on Marquee, and at every turn, every step, Sammy Sosa was being loved like it was 1998. I don't think anybody cares what Sammy Sosa says, and he was just seemingly on brand all weekend. Fans love to love Sammy Sosa, and Sammy Sosa loves the adulation like nobody I've ever seen. Like, we've seen superstars. He loves it. So it's a great relationship. It's really a nice thing. And there's the headline quickly on the baseball side is Tom Ricketts is being very defensive about payroll. And that is something we'll get into more tomorrow on The Score. Definitely will happen on the afternoon show when I am in here. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for all the calls. I didn't necessarily expect as many calls as we got today on a Sunday, on a random hour and a half window on a Sunday. Thank you to the Butte, Tyler Buterbaugh, producing this show and doing a great job. I am Mark Grody. I'll talk to you guys soon on The Score.
I profoundly apologize.
No, that's fine. Yeah. You did your best.